Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Tech Roundtable number 3. Sadly, last time we had to cancel it. So this is going to have about 2 months worth of tech updates on Juno Network, including the tools as well as the core protocol and some other great, exciting updates that we have planned. So the updates today are going to include the next version upgrade, a massive change to the Juno team soon, future upgrades that are already completed that we'll be discussing and how we're going to be rolling those out, developers, tools, and resources, including local Interchain, the new exports API, Cosmos Cache, as well as the Interchain indexer. So this is, there's a lot of information here. This is made more for, more technical people building on Juno and just getting that information out there. So that way that the community is aware of these changes, as well as these awesome updates that we have here. So I'll get started here on Juno version 16. This upgrade has been live on testnet for a few weeks now. We're planning it for mainnet on either August 8th or August 14th for the go live. This will be at roughly 1700 UTC on either one of those days. So that's the current plan. We've worked with multiple teams in this. This has been a massive upgrade of migrating us from a legacy version of the Cosmos SDK, which a majority, I would say 95% of chains are on this version. And to get to this next stage, we will be the first chain to actually launch with this as an upgrade. So it's very exciting. There was a lot of work put into this, including an entire rewrite of our code base and one of our modules that we use from an upstream, the Cosmos Hub. So there's a lot of changes here that were required. So I want to give some updates on this directly. So 45 to 47, while that doesn't maybe seem like a massive upgrade, it actually like really is. So even though it's just a simple number change there, it required everything in the code base to change to format to the new standards of the SDK, which has some improvements, but also has some downsides, which we'll go into in a minute. So with this, this opens us up in the future to be connecting with Polkadot and having direct connections over there to Polkadot and Kusama, thanks to the Strangelove and Composable Finance teams. It allowed us to upgrade to the latest IBC Go version, which is version 7. We were previously on version 4. So this is, many generations up in IBC, putting us up here on the latest. In this upgrade, we also added the new XNFT module. Some other chains have had this, but because we weren't on SDK 46, we didn't have the XNFT module. Even though we do have Cosmos contracts, we still wanted to add this module here to allow for contracts to use the features from this and really benefit the ecosystem overall, depending on what your use cases are. So that module's been added in. Even though it doesn't entirely make sense, we thought that we'll give developers that option because we want to be as open and as broad as possible. That way that you're not limited by the core stack, but you're rather limited by your ideas. So that was the reasoning there. The next module that we're adding in this upgrade as well is the module from Strangelove, the Async Interchain Queries. This allows for you to query some data on another chain via standard relayers. So this is important to grab data. So, while we have the OHO Oracle where they send, updates every 60 seconds of price feeds, what if there's something that price feed doesn't have? Well, maybe you want to query Osmosis directly for said price of a new token, for example, such as like Archway. And so you want to be able to see that on Juno Network. Well, it's important that you, as a developer, can actually easily go grab that data, and you can use the Async Interchain Queries module to do that. Another benefit that this has is with Interchain accounts with the Cosmos contract from the DAO team called Polytone. So this will help benefit that even more. While Polytone already has an Async Interchain Queries module kind of built into it, having this will expand that feature set to allow for some more callback functionality there and double checking of value. So this is a good module overall. There's not been much adoption of it yet because it's more for specific use cases. So we'll continue to build up the stack around it based off of the more broad areas that we could see this being used, and then allow developers to build off of that with their own tools. The third module that we added in this upgrade as well is Skip's Mev Builder, XPOB, which is the first module that we've added that interacts with Tendermint's new ABCI++ interface. So I know a lot of people have been waiting on ABCI, you know, features and functionality for quite a while. I think it's been over a year and a half now, maybe 2 years, since like the initial discussions started. So we've added in that module. And from a technical side, this allows for us to allow for block space to be used for other instances and allow for like Mev, you know, Mev usage off of block space natively in chain. So I'm not entirely sure on the all the direct use cases of this, because again, we're super early and in how we can do this, but this builds off of Skip's great work on their already current like Mev solutions, and this now builds it into the chain directly. I believe Osmosis already runs this on their DEX, so we could see this with other DEXs through CosmWasm executes or something along those lines. So, you know, we're still very early in this, but we wanted to get that out there so we have that feature in the future, and we can just begin to build on that as more ideas come up. From a user-facing standpoint, users will now be able to cancel unbonding after they create an unbond. So if you create an unbond, you have to wait the 28 days, you know, and maybe halfway through you decide, that was a mistake, I shouldn't have done that. You're able to cancel that unbonding and begin gaining delegations right away within that 6 second period. So this is a new feature from the SDK 47 that will allow for users to do that. And that's important for users because many times, you know, users decide that they actually didn't want to, and they kind of like rethink their choices once they've made that decision. And so they now have that option there. For developers, there are some big changes in SDK 47 that we had to implement without requiring us to copy and paste the entire SDK code base. So one of the biggest downsides is that broadcasting mode for block has been removed entirely upstream. So this will break all of your scripts, your CI/CD, and it will affect all other future chains that upgrade to this version. So this is a major downside for Cosmos because this was made, it was apparently only made for testing. But as a developer, every single person that I know used broadcast mode block. So if you're in the CLI, you know, you use this. So this will break all bash scripts. I'm also now aware that it's breaking Python scripts as well that are dependent on upstream things like the CosmPy and things like that. So this is a massive downside. It is breaking a lot of things. The team's solution from the binary builder solution is you should be using broadcast mode sync and then have a timeout check and then query check. So this drastically makes, you know, your testing frameworks a lot more complex. And this is a major downside of this upgrade, but it's a necessary evil because eventually everyone has to do it. And I hope eventually the SDK team will revert this change because, you know, the damage is already going to be done. And with us being the first team to adopt it, we're going to see that happen with, you know, many things breaking. It broke all of our testing frameworks. We had to go through and go fix things upstream as well as here. So, and the things that some things we couldn't fix upstream. So we had to then rewrite it and rewrite it back into Juno's direct code base. So this was a massive downside. It's going to hurt a lot of developers. A lot of developers have already had many issues. I have reached out to me directly. If you have issues with it, please reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help. But yes, this is a downside of this upgrade. It is going to affect every other chain as other chains upgrade here within the next 6 months to 1 year. So it's better to just get ahead of it now and understand all the nuances of it and continue pushing forward on that. So just let me know if you have issues there. More than happy to help directly. The next big thing is that governance proposals can now have multiple messages in one transaction. So one big thing is that as a sub-DAO, you know, you have core one, you have multiple like sub-DAOs underneath them. And so what if, you know, one wants to upgrade, but another one like hasn't put up a proposal yet, and you just have all this like mess? Instead, we can just go through governance and allow for us to upgrade multiple sub-DAOs in one proposal, or we can allow for, you know, multiple, you know, other actions at once. So another example would be, let's say you wanted to remove two core one members. Instead of having to be two separate proposals, you could do all of that in one proposal and make that super simplified. So this is massive in allowing for any message in that a normal user can do can now be done by governance and can, you know, take effect over the entire chain. So now governance has even more control over what can be done. And not only can it just be done once, it can be done, do multiple things at that same time. So this is extremely powerful. We've got things that we want to do with migrating sub-DAOs and migrating members and all of this stuff. And it's only possible because of governance proposals having multiple messages in one transaction. So this is great for normal users that want to do something, as well as developers that are trying to maybe do some complex migration that would typically take like 10 governance proposals and just like spam yeses. And instead, we can do that in one and allow it to all just happen seamlessly. So that's a really good positive there. One downside, this may break Mintscan and ping.pub, as well as like governance builder sites such as Interchain.gov. So if we don't see updates quickly enough for building out these complex solutions, I personally will build a website to build governance tools that will allow for multiple message transactions, give you the correct format, tell you how to copy paste it, sign it with Kepler, push it up to chain. So if someone else is not already doing that, I will personally build out that tool because we need it. And that's governance is a core part of Juno chain. So we need to make sure that that's done. On the final big change for this upgrade, for upgrading to 47, developers, all of your private keys will be stored in a new format on disk. This is a feature from Upstream, so we don't have any changes of this. So if you're using the JunoD binary, it will upgrade all your keys, and this is not compatible with the current version, older versions of SDK 45. So you'll notice whenever you go to your JunoD keys list, it'll show you all your keys. It'll say each one gets migrated automatically as you try to use it. If you needed to, for whatever reason, go back to the older format version, you have to actually delete your Juno local repository, the .juno folder, and then you have to go re-import your keys based off of the mnemonics and stuff. So this is a real pain. My solution would be to have a separate like Juno 45 folder. That way it has the old formats there, and you can just switch between different home folders as you need from the command line. This is, these are major changes, many of which are like out of our control. I think that broadcast mode is going to be by far the biggest problem here. And this is why we've left it on testnet for longer, because we have seen teams building on and having this break. So, there's a lot of migrations here. People are going to be thinking that they can still use the old versions, but they can't. And it will cause many issues on their side. The chain will be safe, but it will bring many issues there. So let me go check if there's any other notable features here. Another big thing is that we'll be allowing for fee share contracts to register governance controlled fee share, or like Core One could register for fee share now, as well as DAO contracts. And in the next upgrade, we'll be able to also like register directly. Right now, there's like a workaround for it, but this upgrade gets us to where we can actually allow that in the future. Stargate queries, you'll be able to query delegation rewards from smart contracts. So you can see, how many rewards do they currently have? And then you can do some logic based off of that, where maybe you claim their rewards for them using auths and then do some action on the smart contract. So this is a great feature there. We had to migrate all of our modules, including Feature, Token Factory, our Mint module, Global Fees, as well as a security patch for the Token Factory module there. This affected Osmosis, Say Network, and Juno Network, as well as any other teams that are running Token Factory, where you could not hard fork the network. So this has been implemented thanks to Philip over there at Say Network. So again, our entire code base had to be rewritten, including this security patch, which is more for as we migrate. There's a lot of cleanup work that we had to do because, with us rewriting the entire code base, I think I added 70,000 lines and removed 110,000 lines. So there was a ton of work over here in the past, two and a half months. An entire refactor of all of our testing, including adding new CI tests for FeeShare, the Unity contract, caching these tests. So it's previously tests were taking 40 minutes. Now, we've got that down to like 3 minutes per test. Massive improvements there. Testing packet forward middleware, IBC hooks, reusing workflows, adding like binding tests to make sure that whenever we do an upgrade, does everything still continue to function as it was before? And adding more of these tests to ensure that we can ship upgrades faster and that we can focus less on testing in the future. So, we're putting up those resources now that way that in the future, as we begin to onboard more developers, those tools are already there. And we're ensure that the code base is safe and that any new changes that happen don't break previous features before and after upgrades. We've added code owners to the GitHub repo. So we've got, Core One is on there, and we've also added Justin from Strangelove to, ensure that our Interchain test and all of our testing frameworks are good, as they are the original creators of that program there. The final thing I want to say on this is that, we're trying to work on making it easier to contribute to Juno. Like from a testing standpoint, we've currently had some issues as we've had, you know, more people contribute into the code base. So, you know, we're continuing to work on that. That's still a rough spot, but that isn't directly related to 247 things. So there'll be an article out here hopefully the next day or two describing, you know, some of these upgrades, why we're doing these upgrades and things like that. So you'll be able to look out for that, including some more information on specifics that I've talked about here. The next thing I want to talk about just quickly is that we are going to be hiring someone soon to help me work on the core protocol. This is someone that I have worked with in the past in crypto, on another project. And so we're looking to get him in on a probationary period. He'll be taught directly by me and we'll be documenting his journey through Cosmos. We'll be sitting there on calls and I'll just be like giving him as much information as possible, trying to get him within 3 months to actually build a Cosmos module, as well as maybe like some bots or something like that. So the goal is to have him be one of the quickest people that has ever been onboarded into Cosmos. And I will be leading that with all of my information and knowledge that I have taken in the past and trying to just, you know, dump that into him to give him all the resources required to be successful here in Cosmos. So it's a very unrealistic timeline that we're trying to actually make realistic here. I believe the current like onboarding process takes 8 to 12 months. And so we're trying to get that down to about 3 in our first hire here. So, you know, we've got all the tooling, we've built all of these great features here. Let's reuse that. Let's give that documentation, those information to a new hire and see, you know, is this actually successful there? So there's a big update there. This also helps reduce Juno's chain risk, where with me being the only core protocol, you know, developer, this is a risk of if something happens to me. And so we want to make sure that we have at minimum 2 people working on the code base. So if one goes on vacation or something like that, or someone gets hurt, that we still have that other hire that is like just as capable in their own aspects there, and to make sure that's there. So from a business standpoint, this makes, you know, extreme risk, as well as helping us speed up development so that way that we can work on multiple features at once on top of what we already do. So with all this being said, you know, this is a massive upgrade. There's a lot of changes. We actually had more upgrades planned in this single upgrade. So we wanted to do more features. The issue was like these were completed, but this upgrade was already so massive that we were like, maybe we should split these into other upgrades. So we actually have 4 upgrades, 4 future upgrades already completed. So this would be like version 17, 18, 19, and 20. These are already completed. All they need is a little bit more testing and then just working with validators on when we actually like launch this and things. So we've got these upgrades done. It's more of a fact of when can we put these in properly based off of, you know, where we are at in other aspects. So this includes the WASM client connecting directly to Polkadot. All of the code is done on our side. The Polkadot WASM client, or the Tendermint WASM client, has been audited by Confio as well as the IVC team. And so this is the whole point of upgrading, is for us to connect over to the Polkadot ecosystem directly. The WASM client allows for that, and it's extremely exciting. To be the first chain to directly connect. Currently, there is a way through, I believe it's trustless.zone, the website, for Cosmos chains to connect over. But this is the WASM client to connect directly over Cosm WASM to Cosm WASM. And so this is, you know, while the other way is great, you know, being able to go through Centauri to connect over, it's more of a workaround for what the WASM client brings of being truly IBC enabled. And so, the way that Centauri works is kind of how the hub was meant to work, where everyone routes transactions through the hub. And instead, now we can go directly to Polkadot. So this is a massive upgrade. Everything is done from our side. The IBC team is still doing some work. I personally have also been helping, clean up some of the PRs and get some work in to speed up this upgrade, because everything's done. All we have to do is just change a number from 7.2 to 7.3, approve it, send it in, and then go launch on chain. So we're extremely done with that. It's a matter of just getting all the final parts and migrations done there from the upstream. The other upgrade that we have done is faster block time. So we had this done back in May. The upgrade is complete. It's just a matter of copy pasting that code into a future, you know, release, and then launching that onto Uni, and then of course mainnet. So that code has been done. That will be its own upgrade, just because of the fact of it being faster blocks. And this will pair with a future, I will talk about Cosmos Cache as well and the iteration on that. So there will be that to look forward as well. The next thing that will be its own upgrade that has been completed, it just needs testing, is migrating all Core One vesting contracts to be entirely community controlled. So the community at any time can decide that, hey, we don't like this Core One member for whatever reason. We want you, well, you know, we're going to remove you from the subDAO and also remove your vesting contract. So this kind of plays into the governance where you can do multiple transactions or multiple messages in one. And so you could say remove Core One member and also remove the vesting contract from them. And so these will be paired together. And then that way that at the end, it will completely unbond all their tokens. And then the community will get those back at the end of that vesting period, you know, being canceled, or the Core One DAO will get that. So this upgrade has already been completed. It will migrate everyone. This will also include migrating Wolf out since he has resigned and taking those tokens and returning them back to Core One. So, you know, this is exciting being community controlled through, you know, Cosmos investing contracts. So that's another upgrade that is currently done, just finding out when is the best time to launch that and when to prioritize that. The final upgrade that is ready is the new X/Drip module, which will allow for contracts to distribute their tokens, whether that be CW20 or Token Factory, to all stakers in a single block transaction. So there's currently about 400,000-ish stakers, I believe, on Juno's network. 400,000 like independent stake amounts. And so this will allow for, in a single transaction, hey, maybe there's 400,000 tokens here, and it will distribute one to each individual staker. You know, this is good for something like Croncats, maybe, where they want to incentivize users or something like that. So this module has been done by Demi. All it needs is is to redo the testing for it, since it did use VShare as its base. So we'll do some testing on that and get that up. And we can maybe throw that into one of the other top upgrades. It really just depends on when that timeline works out there. And maybe something that the new hire also will work on from a testing standpoint. So this is everything from Juno's protocol and what we have planned here. I'm going to go now into the developer tools and resources that I've been working on to make building on Juno as well as the interchain actually a lot better here. So the first upgrade here is local interchain has been initially completed. So you can find this on my GitHub at reesepbcups/local-interchain. And this is also being moved up into Strangelove's interchain test repo, since it is built off of that. The idea behind it is that right now, to launch a interchain protocol using Cosmos, it is a nightmare. You're running multiple chain binaries locally. You're running multiple terminal sessions. You're taking up valuable screen real estate with all these chains. You're trying to find your mnemonic keys for testing and making sure that you have those funded and launching the chains and then launching your relayer. And then your relayer config is messed up. So you need to modify that, restart your chains, restart this, wait for it to connect. It's such a pain. It is a massive pain. Local interchain removes all of that for you. If you're a developer and you know JSON config, and in the future, if you know YAML, you'll be able to start up multiple chains, start up multiple relayers between each, and then use any programming language to launch and interact with all of your chains through a single endpoint. So maybe you're a Rust developer because you enjoy Cosmos contracts, and you know that's great. There's no testing framework right now for Rust. You'll be able to use this in Rust. As long as you know how to use a Rust API, you'll be able to interact with any of the chains. And on top of that, you don't have to download the binaries. So, you know, you can actually launch this on Windows. Like, this is the first testing framework that works on Windows, macOS, and Linux. So this opens this up, you know, to more developers, to being easier to onboard. And at the same time, it's more complex than any other system out there. So if you looked at something like local Osmosis or local Terra, all that does is just run a local blockchain. We have that too. But you know, just having a single blockchain doesn't matter, because if you're trying to connect and do things on other protocols, maybe you want to launch Juno and Osmosis and Neutron for some reason and have all of these connected. And so if you wanted to do that, all you need to do is just, you know, tell it, hey, I want to launch Juno and I want it to be connected to Osmosis and here. And it'll run all of that locally for you through Docker. And so you don't have to deal with any of the configuration or setup. You just tell it, hey, I want to do this. You know, maybe I want this account to be funded with this much and this one to be funded with this much. And after you start the chain, I want you to do this action, such as upload a contract from my local config to here. And it will do all of that for you within 30 seconds. And so typically this would take probably upwards of 5 minutes for you to manage multiple chains locally, the binaries, installing it, all of that. No, we were removing all of that, and you're just going to be able to launch your chain. I'm super excited about this product because this is what I wanted a year and a half ago. I was wondering why I didn't have this product, and I finally was able to build it out. And I think not only is the Juno developer community going to love it, anyone building in the Interchain is going to absolutely love it, no matter what programming language you know. If you're coming from Web 2 and you know TypeScript, great, you can use TypeScript. If you know Go, great, you can use Go. If you know Rust, Python, you know, we have a Python example in the repository that starts a chain, it uploads a COSM or a DAODAO contract, and then it does an IBC transaction to another chain with through DAODAO and things like this, all in Python. Like, all you have to know is Python and JSON. So it's extremely powerful for Web 2 developers. It's super exciting. It has simplified my testing locally as well, where, you know, maybe I want to test a upgrade for a parameter change, such as maybe changing blocks or changing block gas. This makes that possible, where I can go change a single value in a config, I can start the chain, I can test how it works, I can query it, make sure it works, and within 15 minutes verify, hey, this governance proposal actually works, and I can go launch it on chain. Before, this would take me upwards of an hour, maybe an hour and a half, you know, even as many times as I've done it. So this is a massive step forward improvement for developers' experience. If you have questions about this, you know, let me know. I will be leading this and adding more features as developers as go into this. It has been audited, you know, looked through by Strangelove, and they've been extremely impressed about it. So, you know, they will also be contributors to this repository as well, because we believe it's important to allow for Web2 developers to be able to easily create chains and onboard locally for, you know, the hardest part of building here should just be your idea. It shouldn't be the technical implications. And this abstracts all of that away entirely. And it's the first product of its kind in Cosmos, and it may be its first in crypto. I'm not sure about the Ethereum ecosystem, but as far as I've seen, there's nothing like this. So extremely excited on this product, and excited to see more people begin to use it. If you have questions about it, let me know. If you have some use case that maybe you think that matches with, let me know, and I'm happy to work with you directly to get that started. The next upgrade here of the four is the new exports API. So there, I built a product back at Craft for doing airdrops. So one big thing was to airdrop tokens to a bunch of, you know, a bunch of different communities was the goal. And it was a nightmare for me to be able to grab this data. How do I grab every single staker from a chain? You know, I tried, you know, querying it. It's a nightmare. You can't. It takes upwards of like 2 hours. And by that time, you've had 2 hours worth of blocks. Everything's changed. So I wanted to build a tool that allows for any user or developer to easily be able to grab every single delegator, balance, and information from the chain. And this is the new exports API. So you can find this currently on a demo at export-api.reese.sh. And it is a lightweight save of historical data without running an archive node. So you can get stakers, what their amounts are, their validators, balances, total supply, as well as account values, such as the public key, how many transactions have they done. All of this is saved every single 20,000 blocks. So, you know, right now in Cosmos, a validator that is running a node saves roughly 30 days worth of data. That's about it. So if you wanted to get 31 days of data ago, you can't. It's gone. And so you can't actually query this data without running a archive node, which costs hundreds of dollars per month, plus the maintenance of it and dealing with, you know, having, you know, 20 terabytes worth of data. It's a nightmare. With this, it's about 5 gigabytes worth of data. And I have data back to December of last year. So there's tons of data here on Juno's network. And I don't even have to run this archive node. It's extremely lightweight. So you may be thinking like, yeah, that's great and all, but what are the use cases here? So number one, Andre, who helped me build this, is going to be using it for watching Core One accounts over time, including balances and staked amounts. So you're going to be able to like see over time, what has Core One member, like what have they been doing with it here? Like, why is their account balance going down? How much did they sell? How much have they done? And that's something that the community has wanted. And so this is now possible of seeing this, you know, using this API of, hey, give me this account transaction here. And, you know, what was their balance at this time? And building that into a chart, you know, and being able to make that. So that's one thing. Number two is airdrops. Okay, we want to, you know, send out tokens to all of these different users. Who are the different users? What are the different use cases? And so that is now possible. This will pair with my new tool, airdrop tools. You can find that on my GitHub. And so this will allow for making airdrops significantly easier, where maybe you wanted to airdrop to people back in December. Well, they can't find those airdrops. Well, now you can, because it's on the API, which is entirely public for anyone to download. So there'll be multiple archives of it. Another big thing is validator statistic information. You know, how many delegators do I have on this day? Maybe I just want to go query that, and all I have is, you know, my developer address. So validators can now grab that information as well as all stakers. And so, the next thing is the indexer. My future indexer for V2 will leverage this API to keep up with account balances and make lightweight indexers. A typical indexer right now is about 20 gigabytes for me. I think we can get that down to like 100 gigabytes. So this will help save on space and modifications and things like that. So another thing on like the statistics information, I'm going to use Stakecito as an example since they're in this call. Maybe Stakecito wants to, instead of abstaining on a governance proposal, they want to get every single account that is delegated to them and then query out what they voted on a certain proposal. So instead of abstaining, they would vote maybe like 20% yes, 30% no, and then the rest would be like no with veto, for some example. With this and in a single click and a single copy paste, they could get all of their delegators, what they voted on a certain proposal, and have the command to vote to be able to match their delegators' wishes exactly rather than abstaining. So this is another use case where while developers can use this for airdrops and watching accounts and things like that, validators can also use this to begin to follow their delegators more closely, vote in their favor for those that maybe don't vote, as well as in the future, notification systems can be built off of this as well of, hey, I want to send a transaction to every single one of my delegators, and we can build a website and see who they delegated to, and if a validator posts a message, show them that message on this website. And so this makes it possible. It's extremely lightweight because of the way it is, and it also removes it off note. So one of these queries, for example, of getting delegations on the Cosmos Hub takes upwards of 60 seconds to get 15 delegations. That is unacceptable. With this, it takes 700 milliseconds. It's extremely quick because it is off the node. It reduces node load and that reduces cost overall for the Cosmos. It's a much better developer experience because you can actually grab this data, like today for Juno. And I'm hoping to roll this out to other networks as well in the future. So, this is extremely like an exciting upgrade. It's more like of a niche of Juno, but it is something that I have personally run into, and I've seen in developer chats that I help do like technical support with. I've seen easily 20 to 30 people here within the last 6 months that have been looking for something like this, and they can't find it, and they're trying to build their own solutions, and they fail because it is difficult. It is hard to get this data without running nodes, and so this simplifies Cosmos and is actually solving a use case that many people have run into. And it actually opens up the ability for more use cases in the future here. So I tried to generalize it as much as possible. With this, kind of going into the new indexer version 2, this will leverage all of that data by being a lightweight, store of what the Cosmos is, and then being able to, check between certain blocks. So maybe you wanted to check, what's a user's balance at block 6,000,001? Well, you can know at block 6,000,000, I can pull from the indexer API or the export API, hey, they had a balance of like one Juno. And then at the next block, I can see, did they have a transaction between block 0 and block 1? If not, then I could just use block 0 and use that data. And so if no one does a transaction for 1,000,000 blocks, this massively reduces where I don't need to store their balance for every single block upwards of, however many blocks. I can store one and then just do the math between those different blocks. So this will drastically reduce down the size of indexers. This is something I'm working on. It's still very early stages, but this leverages both of the above exports API as well as some other things that I'm working on there. So this is exciting. It's kind of more of a boring thing, but it's still early stages there. The final upgrade, and then I will open this up for questions on developer tools as well as the protocol stuff, is Cosmos Cache has now been rolled out by many validator operators, including Juno, Akash, Comdex, Cosmos Hub, Wawa, Injective, and Canto. So the product was needed for Juno, as we saw back a couple months ago when Hoppers took down all of Juno network. This was an issue because Cosmos RPCs, every request is just sent out and redone. And so you're repackaging the same request multiple times to users, and that's a waste of resources. So this removes that away and it allows for a node to actually cache this response. You can think of that like it gets a certain, it has a request, it sees what that response is. This response is always the same for the request. And if someone asks for that same request within a certain period of time, return back that value that we already received. So then this reduces the node load by about 30 to 40% on request. This is massive because Cosmos in its current state cannot scale. To scale, you have to buy more servers. Okay, that's more time, that's more people, that's more resources, that's more money, that's more staking rewards sold. This is a massive negative. So by caching these requests, we can reduce, you can either, you know, keep your current infrastructure and service 40% more people, or you can lower your infrastructure cost by 40% from the hardware side. So this is massively needed. Other networks have begun, you know, rolling this out. The Say Network is also, you know, I've had a call with them. They're very interested in running this too, especially given the fact that they're having such quick block times. So we're running into this thing where faster block times actually causes, you know, more issues because you're still trying to serve all of this data like very uniquely. And so if we can hold that data in a like offsite, like separate program and serve from there, then the node can do more work of serving unique resources. And that's important. And so this is a massive savings on money, on time, on investment, on all of Cosmos. This is a massive win. And so I'm excited about this product. I'm excited to see more people using it. There's more updates in the pipeline right now. I'm currently talking with the Atom Accelerator DAO to see how can we fund this, because the Interchain needs this. No matter what, Juno is going to get this first, but the Interchain as a whole needs this. So if you're bullish on Cosmos and IBC, you have to be bullish on Cosmos Cash too, because like this is going to save a lot of money, 30 to 40% for validators as we're able to scale up and continue to find more improvements. So a lot of work has been, gone on here in the past 2 months. A lot of exciting updates, a lot of work, even though it doesn't seem like much from the protocol side, a lot of work to get ready for these next upgrades. So I'm very excited about this and happy to share with you guys of all these things. At this time, if you do have any questions, just general development or something specific brought up on this call, feel free to request now. Happy to take that on. Let's keep it more developer focused rather than like business development or something like that. This is more development here. So if you have a question, I'll leave it up for a couple minutes. And then if not, we can end it after that. Well, if there are no questions, thank you everyone for showing up today. I'm happy to have gotten to share with you, the updates of Juno, as well as, the other products that we're working on to increase developer experience and making like life in Cosmos much easier. So super exciting time. A lot of work is being done currently on Juno, and a lot more work will be done in the future, as you've seen with our plans for upgrades. So if you have questions or concerns, reach out to me on Twitter here at @ReesePBCups_. You can also reach out to me anytime on Discord at @ReesePBCups. And then you can schedule a call at any time that you need at Reese.sh on my website. And you can schedule an hour-long call with me whenever you need, as long as there's a time open. I'm happy to talk with you anything related to Juno, Cosmos, IBC, or development related into the Web3 platform. So just keep let me know what you need, and happy to help. So thanks everyone.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage. Like this shit is play for keeps, clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, software model after model keeps on ripping off the code and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy. Before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.